Hello, friends, and welcome to an episode of the Cinemondo podcast for the first episode of season five, first episode of 2022.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And how about that new open? Beautiful, huh?
A little bit too long on the outro part of it, the blackness at the end, but
we're working on that. I want to open by saying the big news that I just found out is that RRR has been delayed in its release.
Oh,
RRR.
Any reason?
Pandemic.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Just basically.
Well, you know, with this Omicron, you know, they wanted to open it January 7th here in Los Angeles, mm-hmm. and it's just at the height of craziness. So, you know, it kind of makes sense to put it off.
It makes sense. It's like, you know, you can't. They don't want the movie to bomb, and nobody, you know, it's like everybody wants to give it its best chance. So,
yeah.
But it's still a bummer because I was actually really looking forward to this one, as you can tell.
Well, I love the shirt, and you know, we want to go see it, you know, at the theater. So we obviously want to be safe about it and all that kind of stuff, and maybe interview people. So we obviously have to do it when it's a little bit safer to do that kind of thing.
And by the way, we are still covering we're covering Indian films right now. We're kind of getting heavy into Indian films because we've gotten so many. We have so many Indian friends who watch the podcast and have told us to watch these movies, and we've started watching them, and we're like kind of blown away by how cool a lot of them are. We're watching the trailers and we're watching the movies and just having a ball. And so for as long as we can, you know, do it, I think we're going to keep this as a part of our podcast.
Definitely.
And I think our viewers are fine with that because it is Cinemondo after all, movie world.
That's right.
Not
and
just
I hope
movie
that,
Hollywood.
I hope we inspire people to take a look at these films because I've been, like you said, kind of blown away by how grand and amazing they are. And you know, I don't think people realize that, you know, it's a huge film market. And they're doing like action films, fantasy films, historical dramas. Like it's not like just one type of film, which I think a lot of people might assume. So it's been a real eye-opening experience. And I'm so glad that we have people suggesting films because we've seen a lot of great movies. And this is one of them.
It's like when we all got into the Korean films a while back. It's like the thing, you know, people don't really, you know, they think about Korean films. They think, oh, maybe it's some cultural thing that I won't get. I won't understand it because it's another country. But then, you know, Parasite happened and got some award. I can't remember what, but, you know, it was like a huge, now people are like, oh, Korean films, you know, and I think.
Yeah, and they're popular too. But before we go any further, don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe. Everybody's doing that. We love the comments. You know, we're answering as many comments, and that's where we get our list of movies to watch or to review. It keeps growing and growing. So keep them coming because we're just scratching the surface. We realize that.
Yeah.
But the film that we're going to talk about today is one that is available. A lot of these movies are available on Amazon or streaming services. So, and this one is on Amazon Prime. It's called Sardar Udham, and it's directed by Sujit Sarkar. Stars Vicky Kaushal and Sean Scott. There's a lot more than that, but it's a huge film.
Yeah.
And it's a historical epic that's extremely dramatic and tragic and beautifully told and, you know, very well made, top-notch the all way through. You know?
Yeah, it's a hard one to talk about because it's not like a fun, you know, it is a document of something that happened. It is a horrible, horrible, horrible thing that happened. And it's not easy to watch this film. I'm going to say right up front, it's not a joyful experience to watch it. It has a bit of hopelessness to it in a way, in that way that ultimately you have to kind of imagine the hope in it. You know what I mean? You have to imagine the hope from this horrible thing and hope that things do get better with people around the world. Because you don't, you know, the colonialization thing, the way that people used to accept that idea more than we do now, us Westerners, people in the movie, you see people applauding the idea. And and we don't do that as much. I think things have changed for the better. I don't think we like the idea anymore of countries going in and trying to change other countries' cultures.
Right.
And most people
using most people.
Right. And you know, this was happening all over the world. But you know, and because of how, you know, history is passed on to people, you know, we didn't hear a lot about this particular event or person in our history classes. This is all new. So I was fascinated because it was told in the context of a like kind of British war drama, but you're seeing it from the Indian point of view. And it was an amazing perspective that I don't think I've ever seen before. So that was kind of, not only was it educational, it was the emotional impact of it was really amplified because it was this whole other like, wow, I didn't even know this happened. I didn't realize that this impacted people this way. It was really, yeah. really disturbing.
I mean, I had heard about it, but I didn't know the details and I didn't mm-hmm. know the names of the people. I didn't know I didn't know this much about it. And yeah. so, you know, what a good historical drama does is it makes mm-hmm. you interested. It makes you go, oh, I'm going to look yeah. this up. I want to see yeah. a picture of the real guy. Absolutely. I want to see a picture of the,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah, I went and did the same thing. I went and started yeah. reading articles about it because I was like, well, what is this? This is revolutionary, yeah. you know. And I like the line in the film. It's like, I want to be called a revolutionary. I thought yeah. that was really cool yes. because yeah. he wasn't just this guy seeking revenge. He was really trying to change, you know, what was going on there. So he really was a revolutionary.
Yeah, and his speech that he gives a little sort of almost drunken speech to a homeless guy yeah. where he says, you know, wars, nobody yeah. wins.
Yep. That's yeah. right.
Well, the movie is epic in the sense that it takes place three different time periods.
Right.
1919, 1933, 34 around there, and 1940. Okay. And the three things that happened in 1919, there is a gathering of Indian citizens in Punjab, in the town of Astir, I think it's called, and it was called the Jallianwala Bagh Massacre. And yeah. they were there just the 2,000 men, women, and children just hearing a speech and
peaceful.
British.
No weapons,
peaceful.
Just watching, yeah. just sitting down.
Yes. And back then it was martial law, and the British said you cannot have more, you know, you cannot congregate, mm-hmm. can't have more than two people yeah. together.
Ridiculous.
So, yeah. So, this Brigadier General by the name of Michael O'Dwyer back in London, who's a main character in this, he orders Reginald Dyer, who is the general on the ground, to go there and do what he needs to do, basically kill them. And he goes in with Indian soldiers and British soldiers with these rifles, and just, it's a massacre. They just open fire on innocent, unarmed people. And they kill, you know, I think it's 2,000 people total there. I think 1,600 died. I think that's the number. And the rest were, you know, badly injured.
It was an insane sequence. It felt like yeah. it went on forever.
Yeah.
And well, it's like, that was the probably the most disturbing thing is that here's this massacre happening. You think it's like, it's over in like a few minutes. This thing went on and it just got worse and worse. And it was like, I mean, I was just sitting there with my mouth hanging up. Like, what is happening?
Yeah.
It's the last hour of the film. It's almost a yeah. 3-hour film. It's the last hour. And I think the reason they show so much of it is because that's the reason Sardar Udham decides to go, and like right after that he treks all the way to London, and he finally gets into England in 1933, and with the idea of assassinating the person that did this, right. to call that.
And, which I thought was interesting because we're seeing him on his journey to get there. You know, we're seeing mm-hmm. him putting his plan into action, but we didn't really know the full extent about why.
Right.
And
what
so
was
I
driving
like
him.
We see this and we're like, why would he just so cold-bloodedly go in and shoot this man, you know? And now yeah. after that, I love at the ending, you get this, he's like, we're not holding back. We're going to show you every little tiny detail of this terrible right. act. And then they did. And it was like, now
we're gonna
I
make
get
you
it.
Face it. We're going to mm-hmm. make you see this thing. And yep. I think the intent of the filmmakers, to me, it seemed like, I'm not going to try to speak for them, but it seemed to me like they wanted you to feel it. You know, they wanted yeah. you to really feel like you were there.
Feel like you're inside
and,
it.
And it was brutal.
And that is actually the thing. When you feel like you're there, you understand it more, because I think there's a quote, you know, I mean, it's probably I think it's Stalin or someone, I don't know who said it, but if you kill one person, it's a murder. If you kill 1,000 people, it's a statistic,
right.
you know, things like that. And you hear these news stories where it's like, oh, 2,000 people were killed or 100 people were killed, and you think, mm-hmm. oh, 100, well, that's not as bad as, yeah. you know, when 2,000 people got killed in the other one, you know, and you're, yeah. but you're thinking in statistical terms. But when you see it, it's like that, if, you know, these are people, these
yeah,
are like human beings.
You see each person's face,
like,
you see
yeah.
them trying to find each other.
And
it was, I have the trailer. I wanted to throw up the trailer so people can get a feel for the tone, because the tone is very, very meticulous, very low key until that last scene.
The attention to period detail is amazing too. We'll get into the production stuff too.
Yeah. So here's a quick look. Okay.
The Indians never forgive their enemies. They strike them down even after 20 years.
Gandhi has left Delhi for Amritsar.
Arrest Gandhi.
और अगर आप कुछ नहीं किया ना तो अगले 100 साल तक इन अंग्रेजों के नीचे रहेंगे।
अंदर में जब एंटर करोगे ना तो ये दिखाना।
I see death, no sleep in years.
मंडे को चर्च, फ्राइडे को सिनेमा हॉल और सैटरडे को क्लब।
Freedom of your people should be there.
I fight different way.
तुम चले जाओ यहाँ से।
अगर हमने यहाँ लंदन में ब्रिटिश के हार्ट में कुछ कर दिया, हमारा मैसेज पूरे वर्ल्ड तक जाएगा।
What is the next target?
Under attack, Thomas Law.
Revolution is a dangerous game.
We need to set an example.
Sir.
Uday Singh, are you?
Yes.
Frank Brazil?
Yes.
You're Uday Singh?
Yes.
What's your real name?
Murder ko protest manega, ya protest ko murder manega? Aapka British law.
Mujhe ek revolver chahiye.
I was a revolutionary.
Koi zinda hai? Koi zinda hai?
Yeah, it's heavy.
Heavy duty. Yeah. And I like in the trailer, where throughout, like especially when it cuts to black and it has the card where you hear sort of gunfire or right. You hear like someone kind of yelling, like you get, it's almost like the trailer itself is haunted by this terrible massacre. Yeah. Almost like that's what the inside of his head is, sounds like, you know, he's just completely obsessed and haunted by this terrible thing.
The structure of the film is interesting. Mark was mentioning that it goes back and forth in time and that it was a little confusing a bit, but then you kind of get it. You kind of feel, you figure it out. But it's, and there's a reason for why it jumps back and forth, because one of the things the film does is it shows you, you know, when I read about what this was about and then that happened really early in the film, I was like, oh, I thought the film was leading
right.
up to
yeah.
that.
Right. I know. It was kind of like, whoa, that was fast.
But then what's cool about the structure of the film, what's really effective and powerful about it, is you sort of find out as the film becomes about his journey to that moment that you've seen.
Yeah. Yes.
And what caused it and what triggered it and what drove him to that, because that's an extreme thing. We don't usually glorify assassins in films, or we don't usually make them the hero, or you know, somebody that would shoot an old man, you know,
right?
But in this you find out, I mean, it is a question you have to ask yourself. You know, is it ever a good idea to shoot an old man, you know?
I think the last scene, the actual massacre, it's not a 5-minute scene. It's back, he uses that makeshift cart as a stretcher and he's going back and forth, but you know, he's looking for his girlfriend, but he's also sees other people he knows.
And it's just so eerie. He runs out and there's just piles of body. He's like, is anyone alive? Is anyone alive? Like just trying to find a movement or any little sound. Like it was incredible. It was, I get goosebumps just thinking about that.
The production of it, you know, I thought the production was first rate. First of all, the period detail, I mean, that felt like 1940 or 1930s London. It's just beautifully shot with the locations or spot on. It just looked it. It looked like what I imagine 1919 India would be, and it was beautiful, and the acting was first rate. Everything about it was like, man, and that scene at the massacre, the actual, I mean, going into some of the, you know, the bloody stuff. I mean, it was just so well, there's no CGI, at least I didn't think so. Burke, you can tell me if I'm wrong. It just felt like, wow, that is very realistic. I mean, they're showing everything.
And they were like, not like real injuries, not like Hollywood injuries, like, you know, a bullet hole. I mean, you could see like a mangled ankle or, you know, fingers, you know, like just those kind of injuries that would seem almost in an odd way, kind of random. I mean, we hear about these things because we have a lot of mass shootings, sadly.
Yeah.
Just the injuries that happen that are not the Hollywood, you know, typical cliche look, you know, they're really disturbingly realistic.
But yeah, there was the period stuff. I think there was a bit more digital stuff than we may think.
Okay.
There was a lot of set extension type things. There was a but it was beautiful. It was beautifully done. Yeah. It didn't draw attention to itself. It wasn't like the kind of CGI that people complain about.
Right.
This was CGI that painted the place and the time.
Yeah.
You know, we see London and it's like, gosh, that's London from a long time ago, you know, and that port where the boat comes in and we see this beautiful pan of the port where the ship, the old ship, and you get the sense of there was a couple of shots where cars are driving down the street, old cars, and they're just puffing out all this horrible smoke. And you get that sense of how it must have just stunk in the streets in those days, you know, the old before regulations and stuff, and so much fog in London that a lot of it seemed like maybe it was gunk coming out of the factories and out of the cars and trucks that were puffing down the streets and everything just seemed dirty, and as it probably was in those days in the streets in those areas. And and as far as the brutality in the film, I think there was some digital augmentation going on there too, but it's very bloody and very brutal, and it doesn't shy. The camera doesn't turn away from things, but it's the kind of thing where it's not gratuitous. It's not like, it's not horror.
Very
movie.
Real.
It's very real. Like, and the pain of it and the suffering and the pain. And like you said, that great sequence where you see him trying to save people with that, like a bakery cart or something. And one thing that I also noticed too, that my wife also noticed, was the characters in it were really well drawn. You really, at first he seems kind of cold and like a single-minded assassin kind of guy, but then the more you learn about him, the more you see into his mind. And there's little character touches, like he really liked these sweets, you know, the little what they're called, but they're like an Indian pastry. And there were a few scenes where he really liked those, and that comes back in the film later. And it's like, you know, he's a guy, he's a human being.
Well, there's the early scenes where he's, you know, younger, and he has his girlfriend, and his girlfriend,
it's his sister. There's also like his sister's great in it. Like, I love how they portrayed his sister. She was adorable.
Yeah.
Like, she was really cute. It was, and she didn't have a lot of scenes, but you totally remember her. Like, she was so sparkly. She was like the light of his eye. You know, it's like he just really protected her. And, you know, of course, she was at the massacre.
Right. Yeah. And, there was, so you got to see that, and you got to see what he was before this happened. And of course he slept, he was going to go to that, but he overslept or he's sleeping. So he has this tremendous guilt that he wasn't there when it happened to maybe help them. He was late. And that was, that's when you realize that is what's driving him throughout this whole film from 1919 to 1940. He wasn't there. So the guilt and what he saw, and he wanted to do, and when he got into 1933, he wanted to do it early, but then he realized he wanted to do it the right time. He wanted to be a revolutionary. He could have murdered him when he was working for him as a helper at his house, but he didn't do it because it would just been considered a murder, not, you know, a revolutionary.
He was making a statement with this act,
He's trying to make a point in history, you know, a memorable moment in history, which may or may not have worked. I mean, this film hopefully will make more people want to learn about this and other such things, and how bad it is to have that feeling of, or to encourage that feeling of that evangelical kind of like, we have to go in and make the savages believe what we believe. And and they use that word savages, you know, they're savages, and they don't care about life, and all that propaganda stuff is like, if we don't go in there and help them, they're just going to be these dirty savages that don't care about
worst enemy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. We're going to fix them. And
arrogance of that, like to take your ideas and your history and inflict it on people.
Any different culture is thereby a savage culture because they don't believe the way we do. And that's like the biggest, that is the disease that causes wars. I mean, that's what causes the conflicts in countries. So what we're seeing right now, it's like people who think everybody should be this way in this country instead of diversity. Mm-hmm. They don't like diversity. They don't want anybody to not be the way we are.
I also liked even some of the side characters that he meets along the way who are trying to understand what he's doing and in a way almost trying to talk him out of it.
Yeah.
You know, his just narrow laser vision of his mission that he's on. And I like how they were trying to sort of, in a way, inflict their own ideas, right or wrong. Like, you know, well, you need to do it this way, or, you know, we need to approach it from this angle. And even the woman who was actually, you know, really understanding, the woman he meets in London, she was still like, in a way, kind of in awe of his one-mindedness, like just, he was going to take this action. He was on his way. And she's like, well, maybe you should try this.
Yeah. Well, his friends.
I liked the London
guys.
They were great.
They were like, hey, you know, there's a war coming. World War II is happening.
Yeah,
so
that's
this
the other thing,
you know, this is going on. Indian soldiers are being recruited to go fight for them. And they say at the end of the film, 2.6 million Indian soldiers died in World War II
fighting for
with the British. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so how, you know, it's just amazing. But it also like, hey, it's going to get lost. Your assassination is going to get lost in all this other bigger news.
Yeah,
which
it's like, it's going to bury, get buried in all this other propaganda.
But he didn't care. You know, he did it in 1940. And I just a little shout out to Vicky Kaushal, who plays Singh.
Yeah.
He's fantastic. He carries the movie.
Yeah, there he really is. Does.
And he really changes from like when he's young and back and forth. And you really get the time difference in those three different, you know.
Yeah.
20 years apart. And Sean Scott, who plays Michael O'Dwyer, is excellent.
Right.
I mean, he's so good and very nuanced. I mean, he's evil, but there's some nuance to his character that makes it kind of interesting.
You almost see like, you know, this is my job and I have to do it, but don't always like it. But, you know, that it's almost like he sort of was like just a little in there, just teeny bit.
I think he was like, he's all England number one.
He's like,
you know, just
I hate to have to do this to these people, but here we go. Yeah. You know,
but they kind of deserve it. They kind of deserve it. That was his, you know, he was an evil guy. But it was a great performance.
It was.
And I think everybody's great in this. It was very realistic, well done. And from top to bottom, it was first class. And
really handsome production for sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it was
really
beautifully shot. It was it's a grim movie, like I think we've made that clear, but it's also very beautiful. There's also some really touching moments in it, and the filmmakers, I think, you know, the director really did, and the writers, and you know, everybody who was involved in bringing this story to the screen, I think really had an idea that they wanted to show the people part of it. You know, it's like that idea of mass death and everything being statistics, and you look at bar charts, like this many Russians died in World War II, this many Americans died, this many Nazis died, you know, and you see that and you think like that each one of those people had a girlfriend and a boyfriend, you know, and a baby
family.
And a family and a grandpa, and they ran through the fields like he did with his friend, and they had times when the girlfriend was, you know, slapping his hand when he was eating too many sweets, and you know, those little moments, and they show that stuff, and you know, you really get it without it being overly sentimental. You know, they show the reality of life and these people that you don't really see when you hear statistics.
It takes its time getting there. It's a slow burn, but in the very best way, because it's character driven. You do care about it. So it's a beautifully done film. Yeah. It is hard to watch, but I think it's required viewing. I think it's like something I knew nothing about. I'd never heard of this ever. Nothing.
Nope.
Completely
zero.
New. and quite shocking to learn about it and see what happened. You know, it's based on true events. This stuff really happened. So kudos to everybody. It was really,
I mean, it is a slow burn, but in a way I kind of liked the meticulous building of this character, like his every little piece of the journey. Like, I mean, some people might be impatient with it, but I really liked it because everything looked so great and the acting was so good that I enjoyed these little steps to the ultimate mission and then finding out why the big reveal of this terrible thing after you've been sort of lulled with this very meticulous little plan. Like, I loved even just this kind of, not a long scene, but exactly how he tries to cut out the book where he's putting his gun inside a book, you know, cutting out the pages and this long scene. Just, I loved that craft, like just this gorgeous, small, low-key drama with, you know, some terrible things in it. And then the big, big, terrible thing that they reveal is like, and I think that's what helped that have that big impact. Because you were never totally clear on what his motivation was. I mean, you heard about it. You hear about, like you said, you hear numbers, and you know, but when you see it, it's just like, wow. So I was really impressed by this.
And film. The drive that somebody has that they carry with them. And there were some scenes early in the film where you see him, how he has to get out of India and how he has to go through Russia and go through these different places. And there's one scene where he's walking across the snow, and it was a really sort of an iconic image that, in the film, I think some filmmakers might show that for a second and cut away and, you know, have him, you know, here he is in the snow, here he is in the forest, here he is here. But we stay with him walking across this snow for a long time. I mean, not a long time, but longer than a lot of filmmakers might want to show that. And, you know, he's got his stick, and you hear the stick as he's walking, his walking stick crunching into the snow, and you hear his footsteps, and you start feeling like, okay, he's walking across the tundra in Russia, and you feel that, and that is a rare thing, and I think that's an element of films that get called epic. When you see certain films that have that feeling, like you sit in the theater or you sit in your living room and you watch this, and you feel like you feel the passage of time, you feel the vastness of this person's experience, like when you watch Lawrence of Arabia or something. I know I always bring that one up, but it's a feeling that's hard to get in a film, I think, and it has to do with letting you experience what the characters are experiencing, and I think some filmmakers shy away from it because they're like, oh, that's too long, we don't want to bore people,
right?
Yeah,
and certain scenes will bore people, but then there's other scenes, and you have to carefully choose them as a writer director. What kinds of scenes impart that epicness? And I think that beautiful walk across the tundra, to me, that was one of the iconic images.
Well, it was like the classic David Lean, you know, Lawrence of Arabia, when he's walking through, you know, walking the great shot. It's classic, iconic. I thought, you know, me being a Western film guy, I was like, I'm thinking, is he walking on a frozen lake? Is he going to go through? That's what I have. Typically me thinking that, but no, it was just him, the long trek, you know, I think going from India through Russia to Europe. I mean, my God,
the insane idea of that back then, especially like,
and the guide points, he points, okay, you go that way. We're going to go this way. You go that way. And he looks over there and it's like,
there's nothing there, but it's just like a mountain. Like,
His character starts to walk, and there's a great shot where he starts and then he kind of looks back at the other people as they're walking away, probably going to some place that's sort of nearby, maybe only 10 miles.
Right.
And he's like, okay. And he just starts trudging across this endless flat whiteness of ice.
So intense. Yeah.
Beautifully directed. It's a wonderful film and highly recommended from us, Sardar Udham, and like available on Amazon Prime, as you could tell from the trailer, you know.
Yeah. There's subtitles. Yeah. I watched it with subtitles. Yep. There's a lot of Indian in it. There's a lot of English in it too. Yeah. So don't be, you know, please don't ever be scared to read subtitles.
You forget you're reading them. Seriously.
Yeah, you do. I forgot until just now. I remembered.
I was, I was watching it. All of it was in subtitles. So I was even reading the English.
I do that too. I watch subtitles. Yeah. it helps. You know, my wife, English is her second language, and so sometimes she needs subtitles that sort of help her keep up, right. You know, because sometimes she'll miss things. And I've gotten used to subtitles even on English films, and it's interesting. You get kind of used to it where I'm like, oh, I watched this movie before, but I missed that because I didn't have the right. subtitles.
Right, yep. Right.
So true. So there you go. There we are.
Yeah.
It's a definitely recommended viewing for absolutely our Cinemondo viewers.
Yes. Yeah. But, you might not know about it, but it's out there available to watch.
Yeah. And, Amazon Prime. Easy.
Yeah, yes. but steel yourself for this one. You know, get yourself in that mood of watching a historical epic that is harrowing and brutal, but ultimately something that everybody should. I mean, everybody should watch this.
Yeah, probably a story you never heard of, and it
yeah,
heard.
You may never right. have heard of this story.
That's hear this story. About it. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, thanks. And don't forget to like, comment, subscribe. Keep them coming. And more, we'll be reviewing more Indian films as we as we move along here. And but this was a good one to start off.
Yes,
and we'd also, sure. you know, if you comment on things, if you know about Indian history, comment and let us know if we got anything wrong or if we left anything out.
Or
I'm sure we did.
I'm sure we will.
Because I know, we're still learning.
We were educated in America, and we fully admit it. Yes. A lot of times things are left out of our education.
Sadly, yes, it is.
Sadly, and we would love to hear from people who know about such things. Yeah. And we also would like to ask our new Indian friends who have been telling us what to watch, thankfully, to check out our other ones, because we do other films besides Indian films too, believe it or not.
Yeah.
And
tell us what you think of videos that we do about American or British films.
Yeah, tell us what you think.
And we also, of course, have a podcast that you can streaming that has over 200 episodes, I think, or close to 200 episodes. So there's
2,000 or 2 million.
It feels like 2,000.
Yeah.
So we do our fifth season. Films. Yeah, and we're just going to keep doing that. But we love doing these, and we love all the love that we're getting. So we really appreciate that.
Thank you
we
so much for
recommendations.
The support. Yeah. We love the recommendations. Keep them coming.
Yes.
All right.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Bye. We'll see
you soon. Thanks, everybody. Bye.